Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's just good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. Good to be together. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here today. I ask, Father, that you will bless. Pray to your Holy Spirit that you will do your work through this message. I pray that you will touch our hearts. And Father, I just pray that through the simpleness of this message, Father, that we'll walk away with it embedded in our hearts. And I pray, Father, that you will help us to be mindful of the way that we can apply it for your glory. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Strange name or title for the message is Stop and Stoop. You know, I can stop, but what am I stooping for? I want to read to you a story about a young man on April 18th, 2010. He's Guatemalan, Hugo Alfredo Talayax. And he came to the aid of a woman being accosted by a man that was wielding a knife. You know, he was going to attack her with a knife, and he struggled with the attacker, and the attacker ended up stabbing him, and he was left on the road bleeding, and the woman ran off one way, and the man ran off another way. And as surveillance showed some disgusting aftermath effects to that, and that was that one man stopped by and saw him laying on the ground and took a picture of him with his cell phone and then left. 18 others saw or walked right past him. They didn't render any type of help, and they didn't call the police, the authorities, or anything like that. A man stopped and shook his body vigorously, and he wasn't responding, so he went ahead and left. And 15 minutes later, the police came, and he was already gone. You and I, if we're thinking about a biblical story, we immediately go to the story of the Good Samaritan, don't we? And that's the simplicity of the message, and now you can go home. Teasing. I didn't hear any amens, nothing. Wow, just testing you. So we know that the Good Samaritan story is something that Jesus wants us to hold on to. He wants us to apply to our lives. But there are a lot of things in life today that make us hesitate about helping strangers and putting ourselves in precarious situations. We have to use wisdom, but I think the key is to be very sensitive to the prompting of the Holy Spirit and how He leads us, and we can rest assured and trust in the Lord in those times. So let's read the Good Samaritan parable in Luke 10:30-37. Then Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, he came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was when he saw him, and emphasizing this word, he had compassion." That is a key factor to you and I as believers in Christ that will help our light of Christ shine brighter in the world that we live in, if we have compassion for people. And again, I think I mentioned it last week, if we can just look at people as fellow human beings to help us strip down our judgments on people. Just look at them as people and learn to have compassion. So when he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, which gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, "Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you." So which of these, this is a question that Jesus asks in this parable, so which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him, or a good neighbor? Which of these, I'll read it in the context. And so which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Do we take that command of Jesus lightly? I think sometimes we do. I think sometimes we, again, justify the reasons why we don't act upon opportunities as God might put them in front of us. But God wants us to go and to be good Samaritans, if you will, to help people. And it doesn't always have to be a tragic circumstance. Just having people that have a need. You know, in the doctor's office, you're sitting in there, and I was watching people being wheeled out the door was kind of a hard maneuver, and the courteous thing to do is to get up and open the door so they don't have to manage the door and the wheelchair and manipulate it around. But that's just common courtesy and politeness to help people. And that's one way that we can exhibit compassion for others. I've seen parking lots, like in Walmart, in times past, where there might be a person there that's really struggling with a 50-pound bag of dog food and need some help. And it might be an elderly person, it might be anybody, who knows. Okay, but to go over and say, can I give you a hand with that? We think automatically in our minds, well, that's kind of risky because you don't know how people are going to react. Well, if they get mad or say no, say, well, okay, well, have a nice day, bye. You know, so be it, you know. Do what you got to do. So we're to show mercy, we show compassion on people because that is something that's less obvious in our culture. And so in the last days, Scripture says that people become so self-centered, so focused on what they are, who they are, what they want to do, that other people become less of a priority. And so we need to help interject compassion and mercy on others. I'll share with you a story that years ago when I worked in a hospital in Homestead, Florida. If you heard the story, just indulge for a moment. Let me share this with you. How many of you remember that story? I just want to check how keen you are. All right. So, anyways, I was working as a security / believe it or not, maintenance man, which I'm not good at. Change light bulbs, things like that. And so I was working as a security maintenance man on all three shifts. And that day I happened to be on the graveyard shift. And my office was down this long corridor. And at the end of the corridor were some double doors that had windows in them. And it's about 2 o'clock in the morning and I hear. And I'm going, what in the world is that noise? And so I got out and I walked kind of carefully to the end of the hall because it's pitch black. I don't know what's going on out there. And I look through the window and there's this huge guy. I'm not putting him down, but it startled me. He was about 450 to 500 pounds without exaggeration. And he was banging his forehead on the door. And he said, I've been shot. I'm not a medic. And so I'm going, don't fall over. Keep standing there. You know, I'm thinking, I'm never going to get him up, right? So I run down the hallway, and my roommate who was working in Central Supply and a fellow Christian, and he's in Central Supply, and I fly by Central Supply, and I say, hey, Rob, I need your help. What's up? I got a man shot. Come on. So we grab this gurney, and this gurney on one side of the old hospital, and one side of the wheels on this gurney were locked, and we could not get those things unlocked. So just go ahead and push it down, all the way down. Rob's going, Lord, don't let there be blood. Don't let there be blood. He passes out at the sight of blood. So we roll the thing down, and we get to the door, and he had fallen over. And I said, you know, we're going to help you up, but you got to help us help you up. Got him up, pushed the gurney underneath him, and said, fall over on the gurney. So he fell over on the gurney. We kind of got him positioned, and we pushed him down the hall, mind you, with one side of the wheels locked and the rubber burning into the finish of the floor. And housekeeping never found out. So we run them down all the way down the end of the corridor, go through the double doors, make a right-hand turn, get to the check-in station at ER, and I said, get up, hurry up. I got a man shot here. So they're all sitting in this little cubicle. They're, yeah, right, Terry, because I'm always cracking jokes and doing stuff. Man, cry wolf often. They're not going to believe you. That was a prime example. I said, I mean it now. I got a man shot. Get off your butts. Chairs, whatever, and get out here. I didn't cuss, okay, just for clarification. Man, dig a hole fast trying to tell a story. So anyway, so they get up, and they get out there, they take care of them, and we help them switch them off onto another gurney, got them on there, and we hand pump the oxygen into his mouth, and then we got him up the elevator to ER, and they operated on him, and he lived. Well, in the process, after we got him to the ER, I go back to make sure the door was locked, and I look out in the parking lot, and there it is in the middle of the dark, his truck sitting there in the parking lot running with its lights on. So I call the police. I said, hey, can I move the truck and park it? They said, sure. So I moved the truck and park it, and later on they came in, and they said, you know, Mr. Glover, you're a lucky man. I said, why is that? He said, because you know how 90-degree seats in those old trucks in particular, right? You were sitting on a gun. And it was loaded. And I said, well, thank you, Lord. I didn't get shot, you know. And what had happened was the guy was on his front porch in a very, very bad neighborhood, and he got shot and drove himself to the hospital. Now, here's the point that I'm trying to make in that story. I could have got to those doors, 500-pound man, in distress, yelling, help me, I've been shot. I could have said, okay, I'm going to go get medical help because I'm not a medic. Well, that would have taken more time, okay? I was questioning going outside because he'd been shot, and I didn't know if those that shot him were around to shoot him more. I was concerned about the whole situation because the community he came out of was really rough. And I thought, well, we got to get him inside as fast as I can. So I made some choices. It took some risks, in my opinion, instead of just saying, I'll just go and get someone else to take care of it. Because I had done that, he may have just died right there. So my point is that there are circumstances that we might face. Generally, you and I aren't going to be in circumstances like that, where we're going to be in that type of a dire strait. We might be one day. We might witness an accident or something happen where we have to take courage and stand up and just get out there and go do what we can to help people. We see that all the time when people are on the news, you know, and helping people out of the car, and the car catches fire afterwards and so forth, that type of a thing. And so I said that to simply say that don't let the risks interfere with doing right because you're called to be compassionate. If you or I were that guy, we'd want help right then and there. And that's what we were looking at. That's what we were looking at. And so we're going to find people in circumstances that may not be like the Guatemalan man that's left for dead or like this guy at the hospital over there. But we can, in a way, find people left in dire straits. And let me give you an example. One, we can find those that are left behind by abuse or addiction or imprisonment or loss or famine or disease or violence or human trafficking or tyranny or oppression. There are people that are left abandoned in different types of circumstances that God might introduce us to where we have to make a conscious decision as to how does God want me to intervene or help? Do you want me to intervene and help? How can I be a light and an act of compassion or show mercy to someone that's in need that I might not be really experienced with at all? And yet we have an opportunity, just as much as when God sometimes gives us opportunities to share the gospel with people, and we have that prompting of the Holy Spirit telling us that we sometimes respond to that and take courage and say, okay, Lord, I'm relying on you, and we share the gospel. Then there are other times that we don't, and it's the same type of thing. We might run into people that have circumstances that we say, I don't want to get involved. And the key is that we have to listen to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will say, this is for you. This is where I have you right now for this circumstance. And we have to decide whether we want to follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit if we identify that as such. So there are people who are broken by injustice, stripped of their belongings, dignity, identity, and self-worth. I think we can all agree on that. But to just go on with life and not have a compassion or mercy for them, even though they're there, on one hand we might say, well, that's easy because we just live in a world that's full of that stuff. But on the other hand, God might just, again, bring us to those circumstances where we have to show and maybe be led of the Lord to show that compassion and mercy to those that are in need. In Luke 10:33, it says, it said that the Samaritan had compassion, right? The Samaritan would cross the street. Remember the Levite and the priest? They were walking on the other side of the street. They could see him laying there, but they had a goal that they were going to, and they made a decision to keep going. But the Samaritan that was the least respected. If you know a little bit about biblical history, a Samaritan was not a very popular person. The least that you would think went over to help instead of the ones you would think, a pastor or a preacher or whomever, right? But they didn't do it. It was someone they didn't expect to. And so he crossed the street to help. Stopping and stooping are the responses that God wants us to do sometimes. God wants us to stop. God wants us to stoop down to the circumstance of where people are at. Who knows? Maybe he might be bringing someone into our path that we can relate to in their circumstances. And we can have compassion on them and show them mercy. Oftentimes, God will take our lives and what we've been through and use it to help other people. We know that. You know that. I know that. So we're to take action. We're to be going to those that are hurting, and we're to be reaching out to the lost in the world. Showing mercy and compassion, I want to look at Zechariah 7, 8, and 10, or through 10. Then the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, execute true justice, show mercy and compassion, everyone to his brother. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. Let none of you plan evil in his heart against his brother." That perfectly fits into the story of the Samaritan. The different scenarios there, different circumstances, different lives, different types of people. But nonetheless, God is saying that we are to have compassion on every brother, meaning human beings. We're all created in his image. We're all co-human beings. And we're to have compassion on one another. If you see someone in this world, because of all the hype on the news and all the stereotyping and all that stuff, we might be in Walmart and somebody might be a lady walking through that's Muslim. And I've experienced this where I've gone by and I've said hello and was polite, but they're very, in some cases, very almost oppressed a little bit because of the judgments that are on them, or maybe their attitude in general. I don't know. But opening the door for them while they're pushing the stroller out the store, I remember a lady looking at me surprised. "I'm a Muslim woman and you do this for me?" We have to strip people of all of our judgments for the sake of being compassionate and merciful where we can. But we still have to use wisdom too. And the wisdom comes in when God speaks to our heart and when we respond to him accordingly. So compassion is what God desires, right? And compassion is only an emotion until you cross the street, stop, and stoop. I think too many times we have compassion only as an emotion. I mean, I'm guilty of this. Lord, I'm not capable of helping, but I'll pray for you as I go by you. You know, someone has a flat tire, you drive by and I'll pray, "Lord, you know, help them, keep them safe on the road." But if the Holy Spirit has said to me, "Terry, I want you to stop and change that tire," and I ignored it, then I got an answer to the Lord about that. And so God has told us again in Zechariah that he expects you and I as God's people to have compassion on one another. It's a way to be a light. It's a way to reflect Jesus. It's a way to share God's love with people in a world that don't expect that love or compassion to be given to them in some cases. Jesus is our living example of compassion. When he, the Holy Spirit, moves our hearts to respond to others in need. The reason why I say that is this, that you might say, "Well, Jesus is compassionate." And I had to ask myself in this message, I'm thinking, well, when did I see Jesus compassionate? And I think we think about it enough, we know there are times when God is compassionate toward us. Okay, but when do we see Jesus compassionate, since he's not here physically? When the Holy Spirit prompts us to be compassionate. That's when we're seeing Jesus being compassionate and merciful. When he speaks to us that way and says, "This is what I want you to do out of compassion and love." And verse 34 says, "So he went to him. And the Levite and priests who passed by first were religious people." Any religious group, Christian or non, or pseudo-Christian or non-Christian belief systems, religious people claiming to be good people, right? The people you would expect that step down and help didn't. And yet God is telling us as believers in Christ to be exactly those people of compassion and mercy. Maybe people are too busy with their schedules or priestly duties to help. You and I are part of a royal priesthood. Are we not? Isn't that what Scripture says? We're part of that royal priesthood to intervene on the behalf of others to help them to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Miriam was here for, a year. And she never made a profession of faith in Christ that we know of. But I will tell you that the love, the presence of the Holy Spirit, and the gospel message was clearly implanted. Some plant, some water, and some reap. And God has called us to do just that. People that pass by aren't necessarily bad people. They're just too busy. And sometimes we find ourselves too busy to allow ourselves and our schedules to be interrupted to do God's work. Ever been there? I'm too busy to do God's work. I know God's telling me to do this, but I'm too busy. That's the instant comeback that we use sometimes, and we know it. I have had times where I've driven off or rode in the car with Kathy. And I said, Lord, I blew it. I'm sorry. I know you were telling me to, and I just didn't. I was afraid, or I was intimidated by the circumstance, or I didn't have enough courage to do so. And yet he calls us to do that. Maybe the people that kept passing by were more concerned with their image and couldn't be seen with the dying man. Ministering and caring about a Muslim person, would you be afraid maybe sometimes that people might judge you the wrong way? How could you do that? Anything that might put some sort of mark of association on us that we don't want association with. We have to allow those things to be stripped off from us because people are people created in God's image. We are fellow human beings. Maybe they forgot Jesus died for everyone and cares for the lost and hurting. Jesus died for everyone and cares for the lost and hurting. And you and I are to have that same heart, to care for everybody, the lost and the hurting. Maybe they lack compassion for others and were more concerned about self. The main difference between the Levite and the priest and the Samaritan was that the Samaritan crossed the street. The Levite and priest may have had compassion, who knows? It's a parable. But to look at realistically, you and I have compassion sometimes, but we don't cross the street. We don't do that. I was watching Fox News last week, and in this one program, The Five, at the end they have little clips of things they thought were special that were humanitarian acts. Well, there was a car that somehow had flipped over and landed on top of a woman in New York City. And the lady was under the car. People were crossing the streets to get to the car. They lifted the car up off of her and got her out. And miraculously, she wasn't hurt. She wasn't hurt. But people took the time to walk across the street. But there were plenty that were across the other side of the street going, wow, that type of thing. And of course, there's only so many people that can get around a car. The point is making the decision to cross the street. The Samaritan was willing to interrupt his plans so he could assist the man. You ever been there? Well, if I do this, I can act in kindness to this and, resolve it. Gee, it might mean me driving them to a gas station. Might really tie up my time. Or, I don't know the guy. I really don't want him in my car. And all these things start kicking in our head. And again, I have to go back to the fact that when we hear the voice of God, the Holy Spirit speaking to us, we need to allow our spiritual ears perk up and say, God, I hear you. Therefore, I can trust you and rely on you. In Matthew 9:36-38, it says, But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. That's the sorrowful part. There's so many in our world that have no hope, no security, no faith at all in God. And we need to look at them. Jesus looked at them as a sheep with no shepherd, no direction, no purpose. No purpose that was meaningful, satisfying, and everlasting. In verse 37, it says, "Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" Now, what has that got to do with it? Be active people amongst the world representing Christ, that we might win some to Christ. Having compassion, showing mercy, caring about people because they're people, can result in sharing the light of Christ, the love of Christ, and maybe either planting the seed, watering it, or maybe even having the privilege of leading them to Christ. Jesus was moved by compassion when he saw their condition and need. Are you and I moved with compassion for people when we see them in need? Or are our hearts calloused at times? Who knows? God does. You do. I do. So we need to cross the street. We need to stop and stoop. We need to go out to the weary and scattered and lead them to the shepherd. Those opportunities of helping people, I got to tell you, I see some of you with the gift of help to step out and help people without even a second thought. It's natural for you. It's not natural for me. All the red flags of caution go in my face. And you know what? I don't like that about myself. I'm not saying that I don't care. I'm not saying that I haven't stepped out and helped. But I'm much more cautious about it than I ought to be. And I pray God changes that in me. So, cross the street, stop and stoop. God might be showing you something that's an opportunity to bear light for him and lead them to Christ. Just go to the Lord. Father, like I said, it's a simple message with a simple message. Have compassion and mercy for all people. And respond to you when you lead us to respond, to share the love and the light of Christ with those that need it. And they might be saved and need to be encouraged. Father, we've heard people that have had circumstances in life where they said, you know what, there are good people in this world. There are people that truly do care, people that will step up. And it gets rather dark and miry when we look at the callousness and the awful things that happen in our society. But there are people that have that natural moral standard of being kind to others. You've embedded that in every human being's heart, whether we yield to that or not. But in particular, Father, you've embedded it into the heart of the believer, to us as your children, as the body of Christ. Because as you are, you called us to be. Help us to be more like you. I just pray, Father, if there's someone that would like to come up and a prayer request, a need, a decision that would mark a point in their walk with Jesus that would be a changing point in their life. You know, receive Christ, get baptized, join the church, call to ministry, whatever. If they have that type of thing or a personal need, may they come forward during this invitation. Bless our hearts, Father. Help us to overflow with a joy and a peace and a love and a compassion and a mercy for all people, and especially, Father, for the household of faith, brothers and sisters in Christ. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.